Now, back in the book of James, if you have your Bible with you or a Bible with you, turn to James chapter 3. Now, that's where our focus will be this morning, on verses 1 through 12 of James chapter 3. Now, remember, the focus of the book of James is living out your faith. James talks about having a faith that is real, and if your faith is real, it's going to be a faith that works. It's going to be a faith that is on display. A genuine faith in Jesus Christ is a faith that is going to be lived out. It's going to be not just something that you say you have, but it's going to be something that is more seen as you make choices and decisions. As you live your life, your faith is going to be on display. James says, if it is a saving faith, if it is a faith that has truly been put in place in Jesus Christ for your salvation. And at the beginning of chapter 3, James is going to speak towards how our faith is seen through our tongue, or how our faith is expressed through our words, through our language. As James puts it, he speaks in these 12 verses of chapter 3, probably in more detail and in greater clarity about, as believers, the importance of our language, of what we do with our mouth, or how we use our tongue. And this is a toe-stepper for all of us, right? In other words, this is going to be something that James hits on that I think every single one of us as believers in Christ should immediately identify with. We should immediately have a spirit of repentance, because I think all of us would say that our tongue has probably gotten us in trouble at times, or that our tongue has been used in ways and in manners that have not been God honoring, not been God glorifying, have been used in ways that have not been helpful, that have not advanced the kingdom, but have actually hurt the kingdom. Our tongue has been used as believers in ways that have not helped the church, but hurt the church. And I think all of us will identify with what James drives home here in chapter 3 in these first 12 verses when he talks about making sure that our tongue is expressing the faith, the life change that Jesus has given us through faith in him. And so the tongue is a powerful weapon. As a matter of fact, when you think about the tongue or the words that we use and how powerful those words are, all throughout Scripture, We are given indication of the power of words. As a matter of fact, if you go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, go all the way back to Genesis 1, we are given right from the beginning how powerful words are. Because if you remember, how does Genesis 1 describe how God created the universe? He spoke it, didn't he? He spoke it into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters and a separation," and it says, and it happened. God said, "Let us make man in our image, in the image of God," and it happened. God's word is what was used to speak the universe into existence. And it's just an example of the power of words. Words can be used powerfully for good, or words can be used powerfully for bad. And again, if you go to Genesis chapter 3, when we see the very first man and woman being tempted to sin by Satan, by the serpent, who was Satan, what is Satan using? Words. He's using words to deceive. He's using words to manipulate. He's using words to cast doubt into Adam's mind, or Eve's mind, and then eventually into Adam's mind, on whether or not God had spoken truth to them when he had commanded them not to eat of the tree that was in the middle of the garden. And so words are powerful. And if you don't understand that yet, then you are greatly deceived. Because your words, what you say, what I say, are powerful. And that's what James wants us to understand. He wants us to understand the power of the tongue. And that's how your outline is going to start this morning. If you want to take notes, the power of the tongue. And James wants us to get this. He wants to understand that our words are very powerful, that what we say is indeed important, and it should be an expression of our faith. Our tongue should be an expression of the new life, the new persons that we are in Jesus Christ. So let's look here at verses 1 through 12 in James chapter 3. Let's read them together. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are great and are driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way." And that's the verse that you should underline in your Bible. And that's James' whole point right here. It says, these things should not be this way. As believers in Jesus Christ, as people who are a part of the body of Christ, as those who have been born again, as those who have put their faith in Jesus. And that's who he's talking to, because he's calling them brethren. So he's talking about the family of God. And he says, it should not be this way. We should not be able to bless God on a Sunday morning and then turn around and curse somebody in the very same tongue that just was used to bless and honor and praise God. He says it doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't happen that way. It should not be that way amongst believers. And then he gives some examples. He says, my brethren, these things should not be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? And of course the answer is no, it doesn't. A fountain will not send fresh water at one moment and then bitter water at another moment. It's either going to be bitter or it's going to be fresh, but it will not be both. And then he gives another example there in verse 12. It says, can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? And the answer is no. A fig tree will not produce olives because it's not in its nature to do so. And his point is, as believers in Christ, it is not in our nature to both bless God and curse men, or to use our tongue and use our words to glorify God in one moment and then in another moment not glorify God. He says, or can a vine produce figs, nor can salt water produce fresh? And so let's dive in here to this passage, to these verses, and just see what James really wants us to get and what he wants us to understand this morning when it comes to expressing our faith, living out our faith with the use of our tongue, with the use of our mouth. And the first thing that James tells us is the tongue's power in teaching. So the whole issue here is the power of the tongue. And right here in verse 1, he addresses a group of people who are teachers. And he's addressing a group of people about the power of the tongue when it comes to teaching, because there is maybe no greater role that we can play as believers in the body of Christ when we are teaching the Word of God. Then when we, and ultimately, I think he's talking to all teachers who are aspiring to be communicators of the Word of God within the church, and that would be many of us in here, whether you're a children's teacher or an adult teacher or a youth teacher or a teacher of any kind who is trying to teach the Word of God. There is a warning that he wants us to know here about the power of God's Word. But here's the deal. Every single one of us as believers are teachers of the Word of God. Every single one of us in here, this would apply to, because we are all called to be teachers of the Word of God. Go back to the Great Commission. Go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, where we are all called to be disciple makers. And in the context of being a disciple maker, what do we have to do? We have to teach. Because if you go to Matthew 18, or 28, verses 18 through 20, where it says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And then what does he say to do? "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so ultimately, we are all teachers. Ultimately, we all teach. And he gives a warning here. He says, be careful, because as a teacher, the power of the tongue is indeed crucial. With teaching comes influence and accountability. That's his point. He wants to say, as a teacher of the Word of God, we are all going to have influence. We are going to influence those that we are expressing the truth of God's Word to. There are few roles in the life of a believer that are more important than the role that we play as a teacher, as a communicator of the Word of God. Now, I get it. Some of us have bigger roles of teaching, especially if you're a Bible study teacher, whether that's in Sunday school, maybe that's in a men's ministry, maybe that's in a women's ministry. Again, as parents, we all play the role of teacher as well, communicators of God's Word as we are teaching and discipling our children and our families. But in whatever way we are teaching the Word of God, we have to understand that there is great influence we have as believers in Christ when it comes to being communicators, teachers of the Word of God. A teacher of God's Word must take great responsibility with what we have been entrusted to communicate. We have to take this role seriously, realizing that everything that we say as believers in Christ, as disciple makers, as teachers, is going to mold and shape those that we are communicating to. I've told you guys this before, and I absolutely believe it. One of the great truths that we need to grab a hold of as believers in Christ is that we are always being observed. Always. And our words, if we call ourselves a believer, if we go around and we identify as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, as a child of God, then we are being observed. And we are teaching, even at moments, I think, when we don't even realize that we're teaching. We are teaching people who are watching us, who are observing us, about what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are teaching people by just their observation of us what it means to be new creation in Christ. What it means to know the God of the universe. What it means to have had a life-changing, life-altering experience by which we have put our faith and our trust in Christ and been given new life, been born again, as Jesus would say. With that understanding, we have to know that there is great influence that we wield as believers in Christ, constantly teaching the world, constantly teaching others about the truth and the reality of what this Word says and what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And with that influence comes great responsibility to hold the position of a teacher, of a communicator of God's Word, is to hold a position of great responsibility. And with great responsibility, there's always going to come great accountability. And that's what James wants us to know. Guys, is that we're going to be accountable. We're going to be accountable for what comes out of our mouth. And if you don't believe that, then you are sorely mistaken. Because as believers, we are going to be held accountable by God. Look at what Jesus talks about. And I just list several verses here that talks about the importance of understanding how accountable we are to what comes out of our mouth. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus says this. He says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required." Much, if we've been entrusted with the truth of God, if we've been entrusted with the gospel, the greatest truth in all the world, then we are going to be accountable to what we do with this truth. Amen? I hope you believe that, because this is absolutely true. With much responsibility, there is going to come accountability. And God wants us to be accountable for what we do with this gospel. And what we do with this gospel is in a great degree going to be expressed by what comes out of our mouth. By the reflection that we have to the world in what we say, what we speak. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, "From those who have been given much, much will be required." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." And so any of us who have a position of leadership, we are going to have to give an account for that leadership. And again, some of us have different levels or different areas of leadership, but as believers, we are all leaders to some degree, but know that we are going to give an account as leaders. And we have to know that what we have been entrusted with is serious business when it comes to the gospel and how we communicate that, how we speak, how we are being watched, how we are being observed, and the influence that we are wielding over others. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that each one will be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Speaking to about believers there is that we are all going to be held accountable, and God wants to know, are you being trustworthy with this gospel message that I have entrusted to you? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." And we are to accurately handle this word. A message to false teachers, people who are giving bad information, who are leading people astray. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "False prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, giving or even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." And there's always going to be accountability when it comes to the influence that we have as teachers, communicators of the Word of God, of the gospel truth. Our words are powerful, and we need to understand that as believers. We are all teachers. We are all communicators. We are all, as believers, disciple makers, and we need to make sure that our words are reflecting the person, the work, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And not only does James speak to the power of the tongue in teaching, but he also speaks, be there on your line, to the tongue's power of influence over all of your life. In other words, James is going to tell us, or he does tell us, that our tongue has such power that it really influences the entirety of our life. The entirety of who we are is to a degree influenced by our tongue, by our words, by what we are doing with our mouth. In verses 2 through 5, there in James chapter 3, James speaks of how the tongue's influence, or how the tongue influences every aspect of our life. And he says there in verse 2, "For we all stumble in many ways." So he just talks about the importance of knowing that you're going to be held accountable for what you say. But he wants us to understand that we are all sinners. When he says, "For we all stumble in many ways," He means that none of us are infallible. None of us are perfect. We are all going to stumble in many ways. There are a lot of ways that we stumble in life and we come up short. And how we use our tongue is one way that we need to be aware that we are honoring God and that we make sure that we are not sinning. But all of us are going to stumble. We are all sinners, is what he wants us to say. And this is why we need a Savior. This is why it is so important that as communicators of the gospel message, we allow people to know and understand, hey, we're not perfect. And the reason why we need a Savior is because we all are sinners and we all stumble in many ways. And we've all said things that we wish we shouldn't or couldn't have said, shouldn't have said. We wish that we could take them back. We wish that the words that were spoken could be gathered back. But here's the truth and reality, right? Is once a word is spoken, it can never be taken back. We can apologize for it. We can say, I'm sorry. We can say, that was a bad use of words, or I certainly wish I could change that. But the reality is, once it's out there, it's out there. It can never be regathered. And so we all do stumble in many ways. And we certainly stumble with our words. And this is why salvation in Jesus Christ is such a blessing to our lives. Is because even in this area that we have such difficulty, we have forgiveness. We have a Savior who is working in our lives to help us overcome the struggle that we all have with the tongue. Christ has given us a salvation through faith in Him. And that salvation is meant to be reflected in the way that we speak, in the way that we talk. As those who have put their faith in Christ for their salvation, we want our tongue to be a demonstration of the Savior in whom we have trusted. Amen? We want people to see that our tongue has been brought under the authority of Jesus Christ. Because notice the very next thing that James says in the second half of verse 2. So he says, we all stumble in many ways. And then he says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And James is saying that if you do not sin with your tongue, or you are demonstrating that your tongue has been brought under the authority of Jesus Christ, then that is an indication of your spiritual condition. The word translated perfect that James uses in the Greek, it's a word that means mature, or it means complete. And James is saying, this is number two there under point B, that the control of your tongue is an indication of your spiritual condition or your spiritual maturity. Is that when you're able to control your tongue, when you're able to allow your words to be God-honoring and God-glorifying, then what you are doing is you are reflecting a new heart, a new spirit, a new creation that God has given you in Christ. He says, if you are able to do this, then you are showing that you are perfect. Not perfect. He's not using perfect in the sense that you are sinless, because he just all said, we all stumble in many ways. And the we would even include him. He's saying we as if I include myself in that. We all stumble in many ways. So he's not using perfect in the sense that we are sinless or that we are without fault, but he's using perfect in the sense that we have been made complete. We have been made mature in Christ. In other words, we have been brought to a point and a place where we can now do what we were created to do in the very beginning, and that is image back, image forth, the very glory of who God is. And one of the ways that we certainly need to do that is with our tongue, with our words. Positionally, we have been made complete and whole through faith in Jesus Christ. And now, who we are in position needs to be lived out in practice. And part of that is living out in practice with our words. As new creations, we are going through the process of sanctification, of spiritual growth, where God is transforming us. He's maturing us to be like Christ. And when you don't stumble with your tongue, when you use your words to honor God, to glorify God, to make much of God, then what you're revealing is that you are indeed a mature, a complete person who has been made right with God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said that our words are an indication of the condition of our heart. If you go to Matthew 15:18 that I referenced there in your outline, Jesus says, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Talking about the condition, the spiritual condition. The things that proceed out of the mouth are going to be an indication of our character, going to be an indication of the new life that we've been given in Christ. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. The mouth is always going to be an indicator of whether you have had a heart transformation. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, Paul, the writer of Ephesians, says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, here it is, he's saying, be filled with the Spirit. He's talking about be continuously filled with the Spirit. Be continuously under the control, under the influence of the Spirit. And we've talked before about the best way to get filled with the Spirit is you've got to drink the things of the Spirit. To drink the things of the Spirit is the Word of God. And so you want to be constantly being filled with the truth of God's Word, the truth of who Jesus is, under the influence, under the control of the Spirit. He says, once you are being filled with the Spirit, one of the truths of that, look what he says in verse 9, you will begin to speak to one another. And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he says the first indication that you have the Spirit of God in your life and that the Spirit of God, you are under his influence, is how you stop, how you speak, how you talk, the words that are flowing from your mouth. That's going to be an indication, one of the first indications that the Spirit of God is in you. When your tongue is under the control of the Holy Spirit, then the rest of your life will follow suit. That's why James uses an example here in verses 3 through 5 about the horse and a ship. He says, when you put a bit into a horse's mouth, that small little bit controls the entire body of the horse. You can make that horse go wherever you want him to go. Same thing with a ship. Huge, monstrous sized ships are controlled by a little rudder. Whatever direction that rudder goes is the direction the entire ship will go. And James's point is the direction your tongue goes, the rest of your body, the rest of your life, the rest of who you are in Christ will follow suit as well. So don't think that having your tongue under control of the Holy Spirit or under the lordship of Jesus Christ is not important. Because if your tongue is under the influence of Christ, then the rest of your life, the rest of the things in your life will seem to just want to follow suit as well. I put on your eye, as your tongue goes, so the rest of you goes. That's how powerful James says that our tongue is. This is why James says in verse 8, if you skip down a few verses there, chapter 3, he says, no one can tame the tongue. He says, no one can tame it. And we can't on our own. That's his point. On our own, we'll never be able to tame the tongue. We'll never be able to ultimately bring the tongue under control unless that tongue is brought under the control by the Spirit of God, by God himself. Only when you've been brought into a relationship with Christ will your tongue be under the control, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And if your tongue is under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then the rest of your life will be as well. And your tongue is going to be one of the first indications that this man, this woman, is living under the power, under the influence of the Spirit of God. Because Christianity is not something that we do on our own. Amen? Living this life, this life that God has called us to live, we don't do under our strength, under our power. Controlling the tongue is not something that we do. It is something that the Holy Spirit of God does. It is something that is supernatural. And that is an indication that God is definitely in the life of a believer when their tongue is brought under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The next area that James talks about when it comes to the power of the tongue is the tongue's power to destroy. And this is why he speaks so pointedly to us having our tongues under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because left unchecked, your tongue can do extraordinary damage. If your tongue is not daily submitted, my tongue is not daily submitted to the Lordship of Christ. That is why David prays. He goes, God, put a guard over my mouth. David prays that in the psalm. He says, God, put a guard over my mouth and put a guard over my lips. Because David understood, if I don't daily submit and surrender, and my tongue is not guarded, my mouth is not guarded by the Spirit of God Himself, I understand that I will do great damage with it. And so every day we need to make sure that we are, as believers, submitting and surrendering what we say and the use of our words, our very tongue, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because when unchecked, your tongue can cause extraordinary damage. And just look at the examples that he gives here in verses 5 through 8. He calls the tongue, or he says it causes uncontrollable fires, the tongue does when it's unchecked. In the second part of verse 5, and in that first part of verse 6, he says that the tongue is a fire. He says, see how great a flame is set, a fire or a force is set afire by such a small flame. He says, the tongue is a fire. Your words can bring great harm to your life as well as to the life of others if you are not careful. We all know, we've all seen wildfires that have gotten out of control. Right? We watched on the news. Some of you maybe have experienced it personally. It just takes a small spark, just a little word that slips out. All that takes is a small spark, just a small little flame of some kind to start an incredible fire, to set an entire forest, to set thousands of acres on fire. Just a little spark. And then the damage spreads quickly. It's amazing. Last 4th of July, we were out at our... We live out in Sanger, and we're just on 2.5 acres, but I was allowing the boys to just shoot fireworks. And they shot one of those little rocket things, and it kind of didn't go where it went. It just kind of went sideways, right into our neighbor's yard, the barbed wire fence. And I'm telling you, in less than 2 seconds, little flame. And we panicked. And we go running over there, and that thing, and by the time we got to the fence, that thing started to spread. And we could not get over the fence quick enough. I'm old, and I couldn't get over that fence very quick, but I'm telling you, I had some teenage boys, and we were throwing them over the fence, and they're stomping that thing out. The neighbor, he was watching, he sees, he's down there, he's got a bucket of water, and we're trying to get the thing, and it happened just like that. That's what can happen with our words. A small word can cause great damage. And so we have to be careful. It's like an uncontrollable fire. Your words can bring great harm to your life as well as to the life of others. Your tongue can literally bring about hell on earth. That's what James says there. He says, the fire is started by your tongue. And he goes, it's indicative of the destructive and it's the harmful fires of hell. That's why I said it is set on fire by hell. Your tongue can literally bring about hell on earth. It must be always checked as believers. He goes on, be there. It says it causes unrighteousness. In the second part of verse 6, he says that the tongue is the very world of iniquity, that the tongue can produce all kinds of unrighteousness that is not God-honoring, that is not God-glorifying. See there, the tongue also stains and defiles. That's what he says there in the other part of verse 6. He says the tongue is set among our members is that which defiles the entire body. The tongue can stain our witness for Christ. It can make it difficult for others to be brought to Christ because of the misuse of our tongue and how we dishonor God and they don't see a very clear picture of who God is because it has stained us so horribly bad and defiled what we're trying to do and accomplish. James also calls the tongue a restless evil there in verse 8. He says it's a restless evil. And then at the end of verse 8, he says it's a deadly poison. All of those things are descriptions of how incredibly dangerous our words are. How incredibly dangerous our tongue is. So do not ever believe the saying, I don't know who came up with it, but somebody should have checked them right at the start, whether it was male or female, I don't know. Some of you can probably Google it. I didn't take time, but sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Foolishness. We all know that words hurt. And we all know that words can do incredible damage. And that's James' point. Words do hurt, and words can bring incredible damage. Here's the bottom line. The tongue's power, D, to identify. The tongue's power to identify that your tongue is a revealer of your true identity. And that's what James says. Your tongue is a revealer of your true identity. And that's why he gives all of those different examples. He says a fountain is not going to send forth from the same opening fresh and bitter water. Fig tree is not going to produce olives. A vine is not going to produce figs. Salt water is not going to produce fresh. And he says your tongue is going to identify whether or not your faith in Jesus Christ is the genuine, it's the real deal. All you have to do is look at the way people talk and you will have a good indication of whether they have had life transformation through faith, a real faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your head with me. And I just want to ask you a question this morning as we close out. And the question is simply this. Is your tongue identifying you as one who has put his or her faith in Jesus Christ? It's a convicting question. And I think James means for it to be a convicting question. I think James knows that we do, as believers, stumble in many ways. But one of the real indications that our life has truly been brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ, where our faith in Him is genuine, is real, is what is coming out of our mouth. How is our tongue being used? Is it being used to glorify God, to promote the kingdom of God, to be a reflection of the goodness of God? Or is it being used as a weapon of the enemy? Is it being used to bring hell on earth? Father, my prayer is as believers, we would understand the incredible responsibility that we have to guard our tongue, knowing that our words are powerful. What we say, how we say them, the way we talk, the way we speak does give a reflection of the newness that we've been given in Jesus Christ. And I pray that as believers, as a body of Christ at Southmont Baptist Church, that our words would be a reflection of your glory, of your goodness, and of your salvation. And Father, forgive us when our words have not glorified you, when our words have done damage. Help us to walk in faith. Help us to be the men and women that you've called us to be, and may our words be a reflection of that goodness, of that salvation that you've given to us. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.